Phoning in from Melbourne on Static this evening, it is most excellent to have the maker of our recent 2SER feature album, Nicole from Tebow. Should we just call you Tebow? Are you just operating under a surname by now?
Just call me Madonna. Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, maybe Nicole. I'm beginning to rethink this whole idea of giving a band name your surname. It's like, yeah.
Is it like being back at school or something, having people just call you by your surname?
Yeah. To the principal's office, that's what I probably should have called the album.
I'm glad you're juggling all this stuff, Nicole, because it is so great and such a pleasant surprise to have you back making music in 2020.
Yes, I feel very surprised. I was not expecting to be making music, and I have just been blown away by just such a nice response. I couldn't have predicted it.
Maybe also absence has made the heart grow fonder. It's been over a decade.
Yeah, exactly. If I just kept going, no one would have cared. Yeah, exactly.
Because you stepped away from music. Your previous band, Minimum Chips, finished up over 10 years ago, and you sort of concentrated on family duties and things like that. So throughout those intervening years, Nicole, was music a constant in your life, or was it something you actually just sort of put to one side and didn't think about?
It was totally a constant. Listening to music is an everyday occurrence for me. I'm always listening to the radio and listening to new music and old music, but I guess I found it very difficult to have the energy and the drive to sit down and play music on my own. I think I'm a pretty social person, so I think I was pretty isolated when I had my children. I moved out to a suburb really far away, and you know, everyone said that they would come and visit me, but no one did.
What a bunch of cretins.
Look, they're dead to me. Look, they didn't get a thank you on the album, all right? Let's just put it that way. So I was a bit cut off from the scene, and I think I just felt like I couldn't do it by myself because I was so used to being in a band where there was a lot of attention put on the other members of the band, and no one said anything nice to me. So
I guess a lot of making music is also a social thing, Nicole, not only from being in the band but also to playing to people as well. And if you are on your own, it's hard to get that impetus to do it and also to feel like there's places for you to go and share your music.
Definitely, 100%, yeah. And it's not a very family-friendly industry. You got to stay up until the wee hours of the morning, and, you know, if you've got small kids, you got to wake up as soon as you get back home. Very unpleasant.
Did you find yourself writing songs in that time or thinking, oh, I wish I could go and play a show? Like, were you missing it and still tinkering?
I was tinkering. I reckon some of these songs, one of them, See the World, that was the first song that I kind of just sat down. I think I bought a little Casio from eBay and I wrote that song on it.
You weren't listening to your kids' music accidentally and thinking I can write these super duper pop songs?
Well, hopefully not, because there's not much good kids' music out there, despitely. I try to avoid any of that stuff.
Nicole, part of the way back for you was to befriend a lot of the current crop of Melbourne musicians. People like Zach from Traffic Island and Rebecca from Parsnip and Lachlan from the Ocean Party have all become your band. So how did you sort of seek out these people?
I was really, really, really lucky that they sought me out. I remember Lachlan, I didn't know him that well, but I knew his music and everything, and he just offered, he's like, if you ever need a drummer. And I was like, okay. It was really good timing. I think I'd kind of teed up some recording, and he's like a, I don't know, he can just do anything he puts his mind to, and he's just got this positive energy about him, and he just got it. Every song that I played, he just recorded it in just one take, and meanwhile, I take about 20 goes, and I'm still struggling. And
did you sort of stand back and look at your new band and think, oh, the kids are all right, it's nice
totally.
To find these kind of people?
I felt like there is a future for this planet because of the people that I play music with, for real.
And Nicole, it also feels like their playing has brought a vibrancy and proficiency to this Tebow album.
Definitely. When I was their age, I just didn't take it seriously, and they've taught me how to be a better person and a better musician.
And Nicole, parts of the Tebow album lay out bare some of what has been happening to you in those intervening years. The first single, Centrelink, is a very poignant picture of trying not to cry in the face of welfare struggle.
Yeah.
So did you also find that you wanted to tell people in some songs what it had been like for you in those past 10 years?
I don't know if I wanted to tell people, but I did want to start singing about things that were meaningful to me and also not shy away from ugly subject matter. It just kind of happened, and I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to sing about cats and furniture anymore because that's pretty boring. I'm going to sing about something that's real, and hopefully people will relate to it. I think a friend of mine was, when that song came out, he had to go to Centrelink to do something. I think it was kind of at the beginning of the whole pandemic, and he said, I listened to your song and I couldn't go in there because it was just memory. I don't think anyone's had a good experience of that bureaucratic situation, but I found it really dehumanizing what I had to do. I became a single parent, and it was a horrible experience having to jump through so many hoops and be expected to do this, that, and the other. And
I also feel, Nicole, that line in the song Centrelink, something dies inside of you that will never heal. They should plaster that on the windows of that place. Everybody knows.
Just a warning, just before you come in here, just so you know.
Something inside of you will die.
Something will die. We don't know what it is. It's different for everyone that comes in. Usually it's their dignity. So if you just want to check your dignity at the door, because you won't be getting it back.
But also, obviously, you actually have life experience now that you can pack into these songs. And when you're a 20-something, you think you know everything. But it must be a unique perspective to have come back 10 years later and be writing songs and think you've got so many different things to sing about.
That's it. And I've gotten over myself, and I've had to work through a lot of things. And, you know, I don't think I was a great person when I was 20, but I feel like I've gone through so much, and it really helps you have empathy and understanding and know that it's going to be okay at some point.
It also feels, Nicole, as well, that a lot of it is uniquely an Australian perspective, or even maybe a Melbourne perspective. Another song, Chatty Cathy, examines that unique club of misogynist, negative connotation female name put-downs. Alongside Chatty Cathy, there's Negative Nancy and Debbie Downer and Babbling Brook all in the song. Deep-seated things that are in our language that I hadn't thought about till I heard that song.
Yeah, same. I think we're all guilty of just going around repeating what's said to us as a child and not thinking much of it. And sort of researched a bit into it, and there are just so many put-downs for women if they decide to have an opinion on something or if they want to speak out about something.
It's also interesting, Nicole, to have seen this year the rise of the name Karen as a negative put down for women as well. It's almost like that could be added on to this song. It's still continuing this stuff.
Exactly. And one of my friends' name is Karen, and she's the most unbelievably, you know, politically aware, incredible, politically active person, and she just is the complete antithesis to this Karen phenomenon. It's weird, isn't it? I feel sorry for all the nice Karens out there. There's some nice Karens. It's not their fault.
Nice Nicoles, maybe. That's what there is, you know?
Yes.
There is some positivity in the Thibault album as well, though. A song like Spanakopita, which is named after the Greek pastry, is about having the magic of being able to write music again when you thought it was was gone forever.
Yeah.
So you've also celebrated in this record the joy of what doing this has meant to you, huh?
Definitely, definitely. The whole making of this record was a pure joy. Normally recording for me had been pretty stressful and, very unpleasant experience all around, but this was, I hope you can hear in the album that I was having a good time. I mean, some of the songs are pretty sad, but I still love singing them.
Yeah, and finally, Nicole, it only took you 20 or so years to work this out. You've got there.
Finally, look, I can't wait for my next album in another 20 years. It's going to be even better.
Great to get you on the phone on Static this evening while you race around Melbourne. We might have a listen to a song off the record called Late Expectations, which also asks, what makes me happy? So it's great to have you happy and have this album out, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
You take care down there in Melbourne. This is Thibault on Static. Thanks.